Very nice.
Animals on the roof, and that's not good for the roof. That chase each other. Yeah. And yeah. It's not that the roof is bad, but the animals are bad.
Yeah.
So we talk about kleshas.
Klesha.
It's a good weather to talk about klesha. Klesha means impurity. And we have lots of impurity outside now. So, klesha, also asrava. Klesha has many names. We will see a few more. Klesha, here you have Anushaya,
Klesha, and Prithaka, Klesha.
Also asrava. You know asrava?
Yeah, asrava.
Yes, actually it's also impurity which leaks into your mind.
Yeah.
Ah and srup. Asrava. So your mind is a building, is a house, is a room. It has a roof. Yes? And it has you have openings, your eyes, your ears, your mouth, so that's the windows. and the gate and all that, so your head should be covered. If the roof is no good, impurity leaks in, like in the library, you see.
Yeah.
Impurity leaks in, and this flowing in means asrava. So impurity leak in our mind. Because our senses, our gates, our windows, our room is not very well protected.
Yeah.
So that's by the way, sometimes we even also call the kleshas yoga, you know. Yoga means to join. Yoga means joining.
Joining,
to join. And same word. Yoga means to join. Yoga. And the English to join, it's actually the same word. It all depends on what you join, you know. You can join many things. The Hindus join something different from the Buddhists. The Buddhists join the Trinikarmani, join the three ways of action, you know, mental, corporal, verbal, with the action of the Tathagata. And if you do that, if you are successful, then you are a Tathagata, you are in Nirvana, yes? What you join, the Buddhists join their Trinikarmani, individual one, with the Trinikarmani of the Tathagata. The Hindus join Atman with Brahman. So you can join many things. Yoga just means to join. And klesha, asrava, can also be called yoga because it joins us to samsara. Those afflictions, those imperfections, those afflictions join us, keep us in samsara. That's why they can also be called yoga. Yoga has many meanings. Very often, well, in this case, it has a specific meaning, you know, it joins us in samsara, so it is some joining. But yoga, very often I translate yoga as application, meaning doing effort. That's very often the case. I do yoga, and pra-yoga is some preparatory application, something very often like that.
Yeah, something like
practice. Yes, when you practice, you do some application, you apply yourself. Last time, on Friday, before we conquered Bangkok, we talked about the three dhatus. and the Darshana Marga, Bhavana Marga, and we talked about so many things which you should have in mind always. I'm not going to talk it, explain it again much often, but you should always keep in mind, because if you do not know this, it's very hard to read the text. So very hard to understand that you have a Kamadhatu. You should know that, that we have a Rupa in four Jana. Samapatis, so minimum nine bhumis. Bhumi means a stage, so minimum nine ones, and that we have kleshas which can be eliminated in two ways. They can be eliminated by darshana. Darshana means insight, seeing the truth.
Yes.
So you have four, because you have four truths. It can, your kleshas can be eliminated by dukkha darshana, by samudaya darshana, by nirodha darshana, by marga darshana. So you have four ways of seeing the four noble truths. So your kleshas can be eliminated by darshana in four. But some kleshas cannot be eliminated by insight into the truth, but by mental development, simple like that. And that is bhavana. One. So altogether, you can eliminate kleshas in five ways. In five ways, in nine bhumis, and it can become very complicated. Suppose you are in the Kamadhatu and your klesha is here. You know, you have an object of your affliction which is in Dhyana 4. How do you eliminate that? Or you are in Dhyana, for instance, Dhyana 3, and you have a klesha, which is here in the Kamadhatu. Because you have 10 kleshas, you can already have eliminated one klesha to a very high degree, almost completely eliminated, but some other kleshas may still be in a quite beginning stage. You see? So it is not that all your kleshas always the same level. Some klesha can already be almost gone, but other kleshas are still quite strong. Yes, so it is quite complicated. All these kleshas, you should remember all the bhumis. You should remember how you can eliminate them. But the object of your klesha can be anywhere. There are three ways to say object. One is vishaya. A klesha has an object, yes? When you hear something nice, you can be attached to that. You have an object. The object is called vishaya. But when you hear the object, you grasp it. And then this object has a different name called alambana. When you see the object of your mental affliction, the object of your affliction is just a vishaya. I usually translate range. In Chinese it's jing, so it's an area. So it's usually that's the object of your klesha. But this range, this vishaya, becomes alambana when you take it. So it's in two different stages. At the beginning, it is just an object, object of your klesha, quite wide. But then you take it, and then it is your alambana. This is your alambana. This is also something which may complicate things.
Yeah.
Because this is a, for example, you have a, you have doubt. You have vichikitsa. Vichikitsa has an object, yes? Or it's doubt about something. And when you really are taking care of this doubt object, this object of your doubt becomes an alambana. It becomes more complicated when you think that maybe your klesha can become bigger because this object can make your klesha grow. If you are in doubt about something, this klesha called doubt can become bigger because the object makes you even more doubtful. Doubt all even more. If you have desire, you have an object of desire, but this object can make your desire even bigger and bigger and bigger. So your klesha can grow because of its object. And many questions as a result. Okay, if your klesha is here, can the object of your klesha be higher or lower? Or does the object have to be in the same bhumi or not? You see, so there are many problems there. It's even more complicated. Your klesha can grow because you have another klesha. And this link, association, this connection with another klesha can make your first klesha also grow. You have desire, but your ignorance, avidya, can make your desire grow too, you know. So your klesha can grow in two ways, because of its object or because of its association. So there are so many different questions and answers to be, and this is what Abhidharma is all about. The purpose is to really eliminate all. And this, at the end, in Arupya Samapati number 4, all is eliminated. Then after that, there is nothing more to learn.
Yeah. Teacher, how do you translate alambana in English?
I just call object.
Object. Can you say as a fabricating mind or fabrication?
But alambana has more than one meaning, but it means to. A is always in the direction of the one who is speaking. Yes, A is always to me.
Yeah.
A is. So, alambana means to grasp, to take. So it is, you take it to you, the object is there, and then it's a vishaya. You take it, and then it's an alambana. So, this is the traditional Indian interpretation. The East Asian Chinese interpretation is in East Asia they call this a field thing, a field ring, and this they call impurity will leak in again. So. Anyway, this is for the shaicha. That's what I just wanted to ask. This is for the shaicha. Shaicha is someone who is learning. Someone who is applying himself to something. Shiksha, the verb means to apply oneself to, and shiksha is someone who is studying, someone who is applying himself. He's applying himself to doing away with kleshas, yes?
Yeah.
And he's learning how to do that. After that, There is another person who is called the Ashaisha, not the Arhat. The Arhat has nothing to learn anymore. His kleshas are removed. But he can still, and five of the six can still fall back to the previous one. Now, it depends on his indriya. You know, you have you know what indriya means?
Yeah.
Yes?
Sense.
But it's much wider than sense, you know. It's the best translation for indriya is faculty. Because you have their sense faculties, but you also have moral faculties like vidya, prajna, smriti. It's much wider than just senses. You have actually in this kind of Abhidharma you have more than 20. There are all faculties which allow you to do something. The faculties. Now if your faculties are weak or if your faculties are sharp, that makes a difference, yes?
Yeah.
So you can have weak faculties, you can have sharp faculties. Yeah. You can be Marvindriya and you can be Tikshnendriya. Yes? Can be Tikshna, meaning sharp, and Mrdu, meaning, well, not sharp.
Not sharp.
meaning weak. Yes. So an Arhat can also be like that. Some Arhats are Mrvindriya. Their faculties are not sharp yet. Only one, the highest one, he has sharp faculties. That's Abhidharma. Abhidharma can be quite complicated if you apply it. What you always should remember is these eight, nine bhumis. Darshana and Bhavana, this Bhavana Marga. Bhavana Marga is also, they do not necessarily go together, you know. Bhavana Marga, the way to eliminate the klesha, let's say pride, you're arrogant, you think you're better than the rest. These has nine stages. You know those nine stages, going from weak, middle weak, strong, weak. Get it? No? But weak has three. And then you have weak. Classes of. This is a. No, I'm not going to use that.
Maybe use this.
This is for the Bhavana Marga. Yeah. But the Bhavana Marga also, you can be very well advanced on your Bhavana Marga, eliminating one klesha, but it's quite possible that you're not even started yet with the elimination of another klesha, which you can remove by darshana. So it is not always the same level. Actually, I can even say it's always not the same level. It depends. You have to see according to the klesha and which stage you are in. Well, this bhavana, it goes together, but it's different from darshana. Bhavana, let's read a little bit of Abhidharma now. I'm not going to explain this again. This is actually basic. Knowing this, one more or less can understand the text. And you also understand why later Zen says it's too complicated. Just like that, it's enough. You don't have to read all those Abhidharma things. Because if you like to do this, that, you'll never be free, you know. It's also a klesha. Always wanting to know more is also attachment.
Yeah.
It's also attachment to wrong views. So by always wanting to study, you will never reach perfect rest. But if you don't study, you will also not reach it. That's certain. So you can try by studying it, and then at some point, change your mind or be far enough so you can leave the attachment. But you cannot eliminate your kleshas without study. Even the Zen people do not do that. Well, I read the text here on page 89. You have the page 89?
Yeah.
So I think we already started reading, but I'm going to read quickly. So the chapter number 3 was about karma. So we have explained the actions about karma. The first chapter was about the five vastus, you know. Rupa, citta, chaitasika, citta viprayukta samskaras, and 3 asanskrta. Those 5. That was the explanation in the first chapter. And then follow samskaras, and then karma. And after karma comes this. Afflictions will now be explained. The roots of all existence. Existences, those 3, karma, rupa, arupya, are dhatus, but you can also call them bhava. They are also called 3 bhava. This is dhatu, but you can also call them bhava. 3 existences, 3 realms. This is the same thing. The same. No difference whatsoever. Tri bhava, tri dhatu, it's karma rupa, arupya, and please, in Sanskrit it's arupya, you know, not ahrupa, it's arupya, because Buddhist Sanskrit is not classical Sanskrit.
Yeah.
There is influence from Prakrit in the Sanskrit, in the Buddhist language. So Buddhist Sanskrit is a little bit different from normal Sanskrit, let's say, because arupya is one good example, but there are more examples. Like when you enter the stream, you are a srotapati. What do you call it in Bali? It is srotas and apana. No, apana means you have it. And you apana srotas is the stream, so it is in Sanskrit you say srota apana. You do not say srota apana in one word. You keep the srota apana. In classical Sanskrit, it should be srota apana. It should be sandhi. Srotas, the s disappears, and then the 2 a's contract to srota apana. I still remember very well when this book was being edited in Delhi. There was one Brahmin who was doing the editing work, and he wrote and he saw my writing Srota Apana all the time.
Yeah.
He said, "No, it should be Srota Apana, 1 A. I said, "No." And then he was saying, "Yes, but in Sanskrit," and of course he was a Brahmin, I'm not. I'm just one of the lowest. How low you can get? Foreign is always the lowest of the low, you know. So I said, okay. I took the effort to show him some texts where it is written Srota Apana, but it took a very long time to convince him. I think he was never convinced completely. This is very difficult to convince a Brahmin that his Sanskrit is not good. This is, but anyway, so Srota Apana is another example of non-classical Sanskrit. You have more than that. Well, the roots of all existence, that's Bhava. The companions of the actions, so the kleshas are the companions of the actions, producing the 100 sufferings. One should not think it's really 100, you know. 100 means many.
Many.
Yes. 100, 100 is just means many. Because I still, the most famous mistake is that Ashoka reign, the reign of Ashoka is 100 years after the death of the Buddha, and then scholars start calculating. But actually it just means a long time. So it's not just 100 years. It's born, it's 100 years after means very long time after. That's,
because Chinese always use 100 years means long time.
Or 10,000. So it depends on the situation. 10,000 years. When in China you say 10,000 years, it means, well, I hope you have one more year. It is 10,000 years, banzai in Japan. When the Japanese suicide pilots in their airplanes during the last days of the war were going to throw themselves on American ships, they said banzai. 10,000 years, maybe it was 5 minutes after that, you know. So it's not 10,000 years. It just means a long time. And 10,000, there is no higher figure in East Asia than 10,000. In India there is, you know. You know, crores and whatever. So in India you have that. Well, the companions of the 100 sufferings, so-called 98 urges, explained by the Muni, Shakya Muni, expounded by the Muni, there is some contradiction in there, you know, because Muni is someone who does not speak. Muni, the quality Mauneya means silence. I don't know how you, probably Mauneya in Pali. But Mauneya is not speaking, silence.
Polite, gentle.
No speaking, no, not silent. Saying, silence. Yes. So expounded by the silent one, it's a bit strange, isn't it? Anyway, at the beginning of a whole chapter. So reflect well. And then, for example, if one does not recognize hatred, if one does not know what hatred is, then harm is done. But if one recognizes it, if one knows it, one can leave it. You see? So before you eliminate your klesha, you should know what your kleshas are, and then you can eliminate them. He gives the example hatred. Well, I guess everybody knows what hatred is. But anyway, it's translated in two ways, hatred or anger. It's not necessarily the same. Well, the same applies to all afflictions. They must be known as enemies. Well, okay, he uses hatred because afflictions are enemies.
Yeah.
And hatred is typical for enemies. And then the question, how does one know them? As I said, the beginning of Abhidharma is Dharmakatha, questions and answers, or Matarkas, lists. But two are combined, you know. You have question and answer, but the answer makes use of Matarkas. So both at the same time. Let it be known that in the class of all urges, that's all anushiyas, two kinds are established. Kind means prakara, the kind to be abandoned through the vision of the truth, and the kind to be abandoned through development. So one kind is Satya Darshana, yes, by seeing the Four Noble Truths, and the other kind is Bhavana. You eliminate through Darshana or through Bhavana. Those are two prakaras. If you put it into Sanskrit, it is easier. Sanskrit is easier than the English. It's the English is the kind to be abandoned through the vision of the truth. You have to think carefully what this means. But if you say this is the Satya Darshana Heya Prakara, it's easier according to me. To be abandoned means Heya or Prahata Heya in Sanskrit. I don't know if. Means the same thing. I always translate to be abandoned. To be abandoned in Sanskrit is heya or prahatavya. You find that in the Abhidharma. Actually, the Chinese basic text, as I said, we do not have Sanskrit here. We only have the Chinese, but Abhidharma is relatively easy for Abhidharma. Abhidharma is relatively easy because it is Sanskrit with Chinese characters. If you do not know Chinese well, but you know your Abhidharma well, your Sanskrit well, it's relatively easy to find it in your Chinese. For a Chinese scholar who does not know the Indian, Abhidharma is terrible. It's very difficult. But if you know the Sanskrit and especially the Sanskrit, then it's relatively easy. And then again, explanation. You always have a gatha and then prose explanation. Yeah. All urges are either to be abandoned through vision or to be abandoned through development. Yes? All anushayas can be abandoned through darshana or through bhavana. That is, when following the path of vision, they are abandoned through vision. And when following the path of development, they are abandoned through development. It's quite easy, yes? Sometimes easy things are also explained. And sometimes very difficult things are not really explained. I still do not completely understand why. Maybe for Dharmasrestin himself, everything was clear. So he wanted to explain it, and he did not know how to make a difference between simple and complicated. If you do not know how to distinguish between simple and complicated, you start to explain the simple one, you forget to explain the complicated one. Because maybe that's what happened to him. I've seen that happen to some people who say something very simple in a very enthusiastic way, but it's actually very simple, and then something very complicated, they just pass over. It's not that they don't understand it, maybe they think this is simple. So it's, I don't know, I still don't know. Maybe it's psychology, I don't know. Anyway, this is quite simple, you know. He already repeats himself three times for the same thing, sometimes even more. But then, as I said before, there is a East Asians, South and East, both try to express themselves in usually two times the same thing. And let's say you should not lie, you should speak the truth. This is not bad, it is good. This is not hot, it is cold. This sometimes once positive, once negative for the same thing. Some people, and this is not only Buddhism, everything, Confucianists do that, the Hindus do that, everybody does that. I don't know about Islam, but I suppose it's the same thing there. It's you say it positive and repeat negative, as if once is not enough. Once a long time ago, one of my friends said, "Are they simple-minded? Don't they understand it the first time? You know, why would you want to repeat this all the time?" But it's just a habit. It's just a way to. And it's not typical Buddhist, and it's not typical Indian, it's not typical Chinese, it is apparently Asian, I don't know. In European, Greek, you don't find it, just once. Well, the next page, number 67. Well, he says there are 98 urges, yes? But he has not yet explained which ones. In number 67 on page 90, it continues. In this respect, they say that 28 urges are linked to the vision of suffering. 28 are dukkha darsana. Yeah. 28. Dukkha darsana heya, or dukkha darsana prahatavya. That is to say, they are abandoned at the moment of the vision of suffering. Yes, completely without any remainder. Yes. So 28 kleshas of those 98 are dukkha darsana heya. 28 are dukkha darsana heya. You eliminate them by seeing dukkha. Yes? 28 are urges linked to suffering. And then it continues. Let it be known that the ones to be abandoned through the vision of origination, that's samudaya. 19. So 90 are samudaya darsana heya. The same applies to cessation, to Nirodha. So, the same, that means 19. So, 19 are Nirodha Darsana Heya. Yes? Clear, yes? These are Dukkha Darsana Heya. Yes? Yes? And samudaya and nirodha, 19, 19, two times. And the same applies to cessation, that is nirodha, yes. Add 3 for the ones to be abandoned through the vision of the path. So marga darsana heya, you add 3. That brings us to 22, yes. Add 3, 19 plus 3. Also for Dharmasrestha, that was 22. So this is for the darsana. And then he continues, he says, 10 are stopped, are said to be stopped through bhavana. So these are darsana here, and then 10 bhavana, yes? 10 are bhavana heya. Well, how many
have now.
Can you add without the machine?
Yeah.
1998. Should be. It should be 98.
98.
98. Correct. Yeah. 98. Yes. So he's already saying 28, but Dukkha Darshana eliminated Samudayas, Niroda, Marga, and then by Bhavana. Altogether 98. But he does not say which ones, yes? We still have to, just have to believe him here, because we don't know what our kleshas are. He's already making calculations. He's already saying how many here and there, but he's not saying what are our kleshas. First he says we should know our kleshas, and then we can eliminate them. And then he starts counting and saying difficult things. But we should first explain what the kleshas are. We have to wait a while before he does that. So it's not a very systematic explanation. It's not systematic at all. And then they are the 98 urges. And then we have explained their prakaras, their kinds. Now their dhatu will be explained. The dhatu, well, I would prefer him to explain the kleshas instead of explaining in which dhatus they are, because how do we know? Anyway, let's read the way he explains it. Let it be known that there are 10 afflictions of the first kind in desire. 10 afflictions of the first kind in desire. Of two kinds there are 7 each, and another 8 are to be abandoned through the vision of the path. So let it be known that there are 10 afflictions of the first kind in desire. So in Kama Dhatu, there are 10, 7, 7, 8. That's what he says. Yes? In the first, in desire means in the Kama Dhatu, or in the Kama Bhava. 10 afflictions there. Yes. It does not say why 7, 7 or 8. It just says so. And let it be known that in the realm of desire, 4 are to be abandoned through development. And 4.
4 for Bhavana.
In the Kama Dhatu, yes? That is to say, it must be distinctly established that the rest are in the two realms. So the other kleshas are in the other two dhatus.
So in Kama Dhatu, 10 to be eliminated through darshana of suffering, 7 and also 7 by eliminated through the seeing of the samudaya of Niroda, and 8 by seeing Marga. And by Bhavana there are 4 in the Kama Dhatu.
How many are there?
36. So 36 in the Kama Dhatu.
That's what he says here. Still don't know which ones, but okay, I believe him. And the rest are in two realms. So how many are left? 98 minus 36, how much is that?
62.
Altogether 98. Kama Dhatu there are 36. 62 left.
Yeah.
Which means in the Rupa Dhatu 31, Arupya Dhatu 31. Get it? The rest are in two realms. The rest means 62 in two realms, so that means 31, 31. You see, this is a game, you know. This is we still do not know how to eliminate our kleshas. Yes, actually, we're getting, it's getting worse. We're getting more and more kleshas by reading that.
When
you're reading. Anyway, it's well, okay. It continues. Let it be known that in the realm of desire, Kamadhatu, four are to be abandoned through development. Yes, that's. We just said that. Am I making a mistake? No, it's all right. These 36 urges are linked to the realm of desire. Yes, 36. That is to say, it must be distinctly established that the rest are in two realms. So you see this text, you have a gatha, and then it repeats part of the gatha and explains this. This is the way it works. So the gatha, and then the gatha is usually A, B, C, D. Gatha is usually four.
Yeah? Four.
Four padas.
Four padas.
Four padas. So you
have six,
this is one gatha. It can be D, F. It can be.
Can be, yes.
Can be, but normally four.
Four, yeah.
So you have the gatha, and then he explains. Maybe A and B together,
yeah,
and then C and D together, takes it. This is, that's what happens here. As for the remaining 62, 31 of them are linked to the realm of form, that is the Rupa Dhatu, and 31 to the realm of formlessness, that is the Arupya Dhatu. Now we have explained the realms, and now all urges will be explained. Now he's going to explain what the kleshas are. First he explains how you eliminate them, prakara, seeing the Four Noble Truths and bhavana. Then he explains in which dhatu, which kama, rupa, arupya dhatu they are. But he has not yet explained them. And only now he starts explaining them. There are actually 10 kleshas. You thought you had many more, yes, but you only have 10 kleshas, so that's very reassuring. There are only 10 actually, but you have so many because they are in different movies. Because those 10 kleshas can be found in different bhumi. And so that's why their number grows. The 10, well, let it be known that the view of extremes, that's antagraha dashti, the wrong view, that is mithya dashti. The view of a self is atma dashti, but it's usually called satkaya dashti. And two evil adherences, that means two paramarshas, are the afflictions called view. So they have, you have five kleshas which are called view. One is antagraha dashti, and you also have that in Pali, yes?
Yeah.
Can you, the antas there, you have two antas. Extremes, you have two extremes. Two antas. One is, you think that Dharma is always there, constantly there. That's called Shashvata Dashti. And you think that Dharma is, stops. It of course never stops because you have causes and effects. That's Ucheda Dashti. So the two in Sanskrit is Shashvata and Ucheda.
Shashvata Dashti. And Ucheda Dashti. You think that there is permanence in the world, and you think the world will end. Those two are wrong. But that's the Sanskrit word. Shashvata Dashti and Ucheda Dashti. Actually, to be completely true to this text here, I should give it to you in Gandhari, but we don't know. Because the Indian language at the basis of this text is Gandhari, not Sanskrit. But later, everything becomes Sanskrit, so we use Sanskrit as the language of Buddhist texts in general. Except Theravada uses Pali, but all the others started using Sanskrit. I'm always amazed to see in Malaysia that people are studying Pali. Well, I'm not amazed, I understand why, because the tradition is so strong. But for Chinese, in Malaysia, the Buddhists are the Chinese there. If for the Chinese, Buddhism has nothing to do with Pali, it's all Sanskrit based. And Gandhari based, but mostly Sanskrit based. So that when you see Pure Land Buddhism in Pali, it's a bit strange. It's quite strange. Also for Theravada people, it's strange to see. I can understand it because the Pali tradition is very strong and very clear. And influence is quite deep. But for Chinese in Malaysia, this is not belong to their tradition.
I think that Malay is more close to the Pali. That's how they think that.
Malay, yes, but Malays are not Buddhists, yes?
Yeah, not Buddhist, but the Malay language is close to the Pali.
To Pali, but also Sanskrit. Sometimes
it's
difficult.
More closer to Pali.
It's difficult to say. You know, if the Malays are called Bhumiputra.
Yeah.
And Bhumiputra is Sanskrit. So there are, even the women are called Bhumiputra. Do not call them Bhumi Duhita or something like that. It's always Bhumi Putra. So, well, their language is full of it, and not only Malay, also all Indonesian and things. It's full of language. So it's relatively easy to learn that if you know Pali, Sanskrit, relatively easy. But the Antagraha Dashti, that's one view. Consisting of two dashtis. And the wrong view is mithya. Mithya dashti. Mithya means wrong. The opposite is samyak. Sama. Samyak in Sanskrit, sama in Pali. Samyak, and well, mithya is wrong. In Chinese, it is, like this. The right view is right. Right means like that, yes? Right. But if it's wrong, it's, well, goes to one side. It is a bit, that's. Yes, the samyak is, right, just like in English, right, you know.
So we can say, what is it?
But it's a devious view. It's at mithya dashti. And the view of a self is Atman. But what he means here is satkaya dashti. Satkaya dashti means you think you have a body. You possess a body, you have an Atman. That's wrong, of course. This is very, very important for Brahmins. Because all the Brahmins think they have Atman. But this, yes, but they themselves have, their Satkaya is an Atman. So this is the wrong view. And two evil adherences, and these are new things. These are new. Two paramarshas.
One is called Drishti Paramarsha and one is called Sila Vrata Paramarsha. That is new. Drishti Paramarsha and Sila Vrata Paramarsha. Drishti Paramarsha is you grasp wrong view, you grasp Drishti. And Sila Vrata Paramarsha means you grasp Sila Vrata. I can immediately tell you what it is because it may be confusing. Drishti Paramarsha is when you think something is good for you, it leads you to. When you think let me give an example, you think something is painful, unpleasant, but in reality it's okay. If you think something is bad, or if something is good, but it's bad. So you cling to a wrong view. The Sila Vrata, Drishti is, I give you another example, Drishti, which is very often quoted in the Abhidhamma. You know, ascetism, ascetic practices, not eating or keeping your breath and doing ascetic exercises, just like the Buddha did for many years. That's, if you think this will lead you somewhere, that's also Drishti Paramarsha. It's very often given this example. So, tapas, dushkaracharya will not bring you any mental gain, not at all. The Buddha has thought so for a long time, but this is wrong. He was clinging to Drishti. The Drishti is asceticism may bring gain. It just makes you weak. That's all. It makes you ill. It's sick.
It is a sentence.
So, no. This is a very good example of Drishti. Drishti Paramarsha. Sila Vrata, Sila, well, for monks following the Vinaya, if you think the Vinaya will lead you to Nirvana, no. The Vinaya is necessary, the necessary basis, but after that you can begin your practice. So your ethical life, your ethical way of living, is important because without it, how can you develop your mind? You see, so you have to take care of the Vinaya and of your vows and whatever you did, but do not confuse this with Nirvana. You can live very well and never gain Nirvana. So, this is the wrong, the adherence, this clinging to Sila and Vrata. You cling to your Sila, to your Vinaya. Sila and your Vrata. Vrata is the vows. Sila is your morality. If you cling to morality and vows and think this is really going to lead you to Nirvana, that is wrong too. This is a means, not a goal. So these two, 4 and 5, he adds that. So there are 5 drishtis. And then let's see how he explains them. Well, he explains the first one. Unaware, so not aware, of the nature of all dharmas. Because of the continuity of causes, one either has the notion of their eternity or that of their
annihilation. So if you do not, if you are not aware that there is causes and result always, you should know there is always cause and hetu and phala and the result. If you are not aware of that, you may get the idea that this may go on forever, what you have, or that it may stop. So you have the idea of Shashvata Drishti, of Uccheda Drishti, if you do not know that everything depends on causes, conditions, and that has results, and those results are the causes of new results and things like that. You know, but you can stop it in Nirvana. You know, you can stop it, it's possible. But if you just, it may go on or it may end. If you are not aware of causes and conditions and results. So annihilation and eternity are the two extremes expounded by the World Honored One. The World Honored One is a Bhagavat, yes? The World Honored One is Bhagavat. Bhagavat is the world. That's the way he is explained in East Asia. World Honored One. He's the most honored one in the world. That's Bhagavat. Because what does Bhagavat really mean? That is
the bliss.
What does Bhaga mean?
Bhaga is
lovely. You see, so in Buddhist literature, you have quite many explanations of the real meaning of Bhagavat. Bhaga has more than one meaning. Bhagavat, he who possesses Bhaga. That's Bhagavat, yes? Yeah, there are quite some explanations. That's why normally people do not translate it.
Yeah.
Just say Bhagavat. Bhagavat is the root, you know. Bhagavan is a nominative case, yes? One translates usually Bhagavat. And this is not necessarily Buddhist one. Bhagavan is also Hindu. It's in general.
God.
No, God is not Bhagavan.
No. Respected.
Yes, some respected, but God is, very bad gods, you know. In Buddhism, and if you look at the Hindu gods, they're not very, no example to live by.
Yeah. Something was so strange in India, was right?
Yeah. Shiva is a Bhagavan.
A god?
Yeah. In your temple, there are some special gods from India.
Yeah, you saw it, no?
Because a god can do something terrible and be reborn in hell. The gods can be reborn in hell too. Can people in hell be reborn as a god?
And in terms of Buddhist tests, we can say.
In Buddhist way, Professor Chospa told that we practice 10 virtues, we can reborn to the human being or the god.
In hell? Can you do that in hell?
No. If you want to be born as a human again and again, you have to fix the 10 virtues.
10 virtues.
Yes. Yes, but we might
maybe
be able to do so, and it is very difficult in hell to do that, you know.
Yeah.
So at least if you don't get the nirvana, you will be born as a human again and again.
Can you get Bodhi in hell?
No.
In hell we can get a Bodhi.
So what happens after hell?
After hell, maybe.
Well, those are all questions which you get when you talk to lay people, you know.
Yeah.
But this.
No, I think that there are the two things, good and bad. You know, one the good thing is that you have to do the bad. The consequences, you have to suffer the consequences. I think the vice versa. Both.
Yes, but what is good and what is bad? I heard yesterday in the bus, I heard losing your job, being told you're out, looked bad, yes?
Yeah.
But maybe that's good, because now you can do something better, you know. So good and bad is maybe relative. When sometimes, okay, if you have many monks, and so there is
their persecution. They are driving away many monks and taking everything away from the monks and whatever. Looks very bad. But in that way, in history, sometimes the Sangha was cleaned, you know. The real monks stayed, you know. And the bad ones
go.
Went to somewhere else to get more benefit, you know.
Yeah.
So it is... this is good and bad. What is bad? Maybe this persecution had some good to it also, you see. So good and bad is quite
relative. So, actually, teacher says, we can take the snake in a wood, right way or wrong way.
The snake?
Yes.
Yeah. Yes. No matter which way, you will be bited.
Bited, yeah.
Or slave. Yeah. No matter.
If you don't disturb it. You should not disturb this. let's see his explanations a little bit more. So when a view here holds on to extremes, it is called a view of extremes. Quite normal, this explanation. And then when it denies the true meaning, the view is the wrong view. So when the artha, the true meaning, what is explained here as the true meaning is artha, which is what is true, what is meaningful. For example, you deny that nirvana is meaningful. That is mityadrishti. You deny it. You just what has artha? You think you say it is not. It does not have artha. What is meaningful? You say it is not meaningful. You see the things upside down. And then it continues, when one is deluded in the species which has feelings, that's our us humans, but are animals included?
Yeah.
Like this one flying through the room? Does it have feelings? The species which has feelings, the sentient beings, also animals normally. And not only that, but also consciousness. That's harder to explain. How do you know a bird has consciousness or a chicken? I don't know. Anyway, Buddhism says they have. When does it begin? In the egg? You see, you can ask so many questions.
Yeah.
In the species which has feelings and consciousness and believes in a self, an Atman, this view is called view of individuality, Satkaya Drishti. So you believe in an Atman, this is Satkaya Drishti. When impure factors are experienced as being best, this is evil adherence to wrong views. When something impure, and you have something impure and you think this is very good, that is evil adherence to wrong views. I gave you the example of asceticism, you know, being ascetic, doing ascetic practices, and you think that is good, that will lead you to something, it doesn't. Shakyamuni had experience. He tried it, didn't work. Started eating again.
Yeah. That's true.
Maybe it's time to pause.
Yeah.
I think I should not confuse with ascetic practice.
Yeah.
Let's take a break here.
Sorry.